Marvelous, amazing, sovereign, saving grace. All right, let's read Matthew 28, verse 9 again. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And they were not idolaters. They were worshiping God, weren't they? God. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ never uttered an idle word. That's amazing to think about, isn't it? Not one insignificant word came out of his mouth. Does that just amaze you? The Lord never, for that matter, never made an idle gesture or made an undetermined move. Never took a step in any direction that wasn't purposed and determined before the world began. The Lord never said a word that was not full of infinite glory and meaning and wisdom and power. Not one word. His very greetings and farewells were full of glory and full of comfort for His people and eternal blessing. This is what we're going to look at tonight, this greeting of the Lord. It's not just a, you know, we greet people the same way all the time. We do it by habit. The Lord never uttered an insignificant or meaningless or idle word. It was deep and full with meaning. Now, the angel of the Lord had just told these women the wonderful news that the Lord is risen from the dead. And he said, behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. The angel was sent, the messenger, that is, of the Lord, was sent to give this announcement and tell them where to go and what the Lord said. And he did his job, and he said, I've told you. My job's done. It's done. Paul wrote one time, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, oh my, we better not let it slip. The word spoken by the Lord himself. So he did as he was told. The Lord told him. The Lord sent him and told him to tell them he is risen. Tell my disciples that they don't worship a dead Lord. They worship a Christ who was crucified, but he's not anymore. He's risen. He's seated. He's exalted. They worship a Christ who was made flesh, a God who was made flesh, who was made of woman, and a child was born, but not anymore. He is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords on his throne. You go tell my disciple that he is risen, exalted, seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, as he said, as Scripture said. And I've told you that. That was my job. That is my job. And I've told you, haven't I? And my hands are free from your blood. I've done my job. So the angel told them that the Lord was risen. And our Lord is indeed risen. And so they departed. They departed the place of the dead, the sepulcher. As they should. Brother John read from Luke 24 where it said, where the angel said there, and there's no conflict. There's no conflict. Matthew just didn't record everything that they said. Right? And Luke picked up where he left off. Same story. And, but anyway, the angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? What are you doing hanging around this grave? He's not here. And we looked at that last week, how that let the dead bury the dead, and we don't worship a living Lord amongst dead religion and dead works and so forth, but we worship Him in spirit and in truth. So they departed the place of the dead quickly, and they went to tell the glorious news of the living Lord. And it says, look at this, they ran, in verse 8, they ran to bring this news, and they departed with fear and great joy. Now here's two things that the truth of who Christ is and where He is now, these are two things that it will produce in everyone who hears it from God's angel. Fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, isn't it? The fear of the living and true God. You know, our generation doesn't worship the living and true God. How do you know?
Because there's no fear of God before their eyes. It's obvious. The way they talk about Him, the way they use His name, the way they say they worship Him so flippantly and carelessly, and all this flesh and all that, it's obvious to me, and it's obvious to you, there's no fear of God before their eyes in it, is it? But we do. He's united our hearts to fear His name. How do you know?
By what we preach, or rather who we preach, how we preach, how we conduct our worship services, and so on and so forth. We worship Him in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, don't we? And we put no confidence in the flesh. You just don't see the trappings of flesh here, do you? And so the fear of the Lord is what this message from the angel of the Lord will produce. The fear of the Lord in whose, not who's in our hand, but in whose hands our breath is and all our way. That's the Lord we're talking about, the God who is God. The fear of the Lord in whom we live and move and have our being. The fear of the Lord who reigns among the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand to say unto Him, what doest thou? The fear of the Lord who will work and who's going to stop Him. That's the Lord we fear in it. Now notice it says they ran with fear. They feared. They feared. And this message produces fear in it. But not too much fear. But here's what it did produce in them greatly. Great joy. It doesn't say they ran with joy and great fear, but rather with fear and great joy. We fear the Lord, don't we? We do. And but yet we have great joy. Great joy. Peter wrote this. He said, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Don't you? Yes, you do. And all who fear Him, He declares the gospel and the good news, the glad tidings of great joy. Doesn't it? And the first thing He says in this gospel of great joy is what? Fear not. You need not fear. That's the first thing the Lord said to these ladies when He met them, after He hailed them, of course. So they ran to tell the other disciples, and they were doing it with great joy. Wouldn't you love to run with this message? You're the first to hear it. That He's risen. They're weeping. Remember, they're weeping and sad and mourning. And they can't wait to tell them. I've been there a few times. I wish it were more often. Quite often I can't wait to get here. I was talking to one of the brethren, Don Bell, last Wednesday afternoon. And we both had prepared our messages for that Wednesday night. And we were both talking about them to one another. And I made the statement to him. I said, don't you wish it was 7 o'clock right now? He said, yes, I do. I wish I could just run up there right now and tell it. Because sometimes it seems to be lost in the shuffle, in the translation. But they ran to tell the other disciples with great joy. And I believe they were running in great anticipation to see the Lord. He's going before. You'll see Him in Galilee. They couldn't get there quick enough. And I thought about this. those that truly seek the Lord. He said, in seeking me, you shall find me when you search for me. How? With all your heart. David said, I will arise early. The early worm gets the Lord. Can I coin that phrase? I'm not trying to be cute. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. Rise up early. Run to the place that he has chosen to put his name there. The place that he's chosen, he said, I'll be there. Run. And you'll see him. He said so. You know, he appointed the place. And this is in the last part of my notes, but I might not get to it. But the Lord appointed the place. And when he makes the appointment, and he does make the appointment, doesn't he? He appoints every church where he is going to put his name back. Every place, every city that is, and makes it a church. And that's the place, like he said in Deuteronomy, I've chosen to put my name there. You better sell out. You better do everything you can to get there. Take your kids there and so forth. Read it for yourself. Deuteronomy 11 through 16, I believe it is. And when the Lord appoints a place, and he says he's going to be there, he will always show up. He'll be there. He'll be there first. And one of the old writers said, he's a lot nearer than that, though. And these ladies are going to find out. They don't have to wait to get there. They're going to meet him on the way. He said, I'm a God. I'm ever present. You don't have to come into this place to meet him. But he said he would be here. Then. So you can be assured of that. But they're going to meet him on the way. And Brother Charles Spurgeon said Galilee was the place. And he made this note. I might not get to this. It doesn't appear I'm going to. But Spurgeon made this note that Galilee was a border country of the Gentiles and the Jews. Anybody catch that? The Lord meets where both Jew and Gentile meet. If made of two, one new man. Broke down the enmity. Galilee. And he said that's the first meeting of a congregational meeting. How is it in Hebrews goes to this? That's the first assembly of the saints, of the church, after he arose there at Galilee. So, these ladies believed the angel. It wasn't the Lord that spoke to them, it was an angel. It was a saint that had lived, and I believe, like the one that spoke to John. They believed the angel. And they ran to see the Lord. And they ran to tell the disciple. In verse 9, and as they went, it says, behold, Jesus met them. And as I said, the Lord is in great mercy and grace, won't allow anxious seekers to wait too long. But he met them. They weren't expecting to see him until they reached Galilee, but lo and behold, it says, behold, he met them. Who? Who did he meet? Here it is again. Who were the first ones that he made the announcement to? Mary Magdalene, chief of sinners. That's good news, isn't it? That's good news to me. And then again, Kelly, again, as they were on their way, he met them again. Who? Mary Magdalene, chief of sinners. Chief of sinners. And the Lord met them. And it says they went and held him by the feet. Held him by the feet and worshipped him. Worshipped him. When they saw the Lord, don't you look forward to seeing, actually seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang that hymn, when by the gift of His infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place. Just to be there and to look on His face will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be. Glory for me. It's impossible for us to imagine what it must have been like to be with the Lord Jesus Christ day and night for 3.5 years. I've just tried to imagine, but I can't. I hadn't seen or hadn't heard. We haven't seen him. We've just had a little foretaste of these things, just a little taste of his person. But can you? It's impossible for us to imagine what it must have been like to actually look on him. And John said, "We've touched him, we've handled him, we've felt him, we've heard him, and spoken to him. He with us." And they did this for 3.5 years. They heard his voice, and Scripture says, "No man spake like this man." And they saw him, his countenance, though he was not beautiful to look at, humanly speaking, and that by design. Yet, you know, beauty, we say, is only skin deep. But his wasn't in the skin. Yet it was in his countenance. You know, his eyes, that description of him over in the Canticles over there in the Song of Solomon, you know, his countenance, his eyes, dove's eyes. And to see his countenance, to be touched by him. You know, there's something wonderful in a touch, isn't it? Even by a fellow human being, isn't it? A touch, an embrace, a truly sincere, meaningful embrace, especially in times of sadness or sorrow or happiness. You see somebody unseen a long time. Oh, man. What, you know, for the Lord to embrace you? Barbara, for the Lord, in his hand, in his touch, was virtue went out of him. For him to lay his hand on your shoulder would just all your fears would be gone. You know, I'm just trying to imagine that. But they experienced it. And I look forward to that. Don't you? And yet the Lord has, in a sense, and in a great sense, has briefly shown himself to us. And he has. We're going to look Sunday morning at where Paul said to the Galatians, Jesus Christ crucified hath been so evidently set forth before you. You folks in here have heard, and I'm not just talking about from me, I'm talking about other preachers. You have heard some of the most glorious messages in the history of preaching. I'm telling you that. I've read the old preachers and all that. I'm telling you, you've heard some of the most glorious, Christ exalted. You've seen his glory. You've heard his voice. We're like the children of Israel. We've heard God and seen God and live. That's why. To see him is life. And the Lord has indeed revealed himself to us and in us. That is, his Spirit bearing witness with our spirit, a new man, to relieve our doubts as to who he is. We have some, but that's to be expected in the flesh. And so we won't have to wait too long. You know, we've got to live here 70 years, 80 years, don't we? Old brother, all my days, who is it? All my days I wait. Job, all my days I wait till my change come. I ain't working on the world to change. That fellow's going to wait a long time. I'm waiting on me to be changed. Aren't you? Waiting on my change. Well, these women, they ran and they saw the Lord. And so have we in his word. And we hold him by the feet. These women, it says they ran and I don't know how many there were, but they all dove at his feet. Luke said there was Joanna and Mary and the other Mary and they all went for his feet. That's where he always found Mary, wasn't it? Oh, she wasn't presumptuous. She wasn't like Judas. She felt far inferior to her Lord, didn't she? Beneath him. She was just pleased like a dog to be at her master's feet. That's where all of God's people feel is their place, don't they? And they're just happy to be right there. Old Abner, you know, there I go. I said I was going to go about 6 months without bringing him up. Can't do it. He's a good illustration. He just loved to sit at my feet. He loved to sit on my feet. As if to say, don't go anywhere without me. And these ladies hugged him by his feet and worshiped him. Now think about that. I never thought about that. But the Lord is our head. He's called our covenant head, isn't it? He's the head. He's in heaven right now, isn't it? But his body is upon the earth. His lower parts, his feet, still stand upon this earth. And we hold them and worship him. What might these feet be represented by? The feet of the Lord, which we embrace and worship him. It's two feet. Pillars of truth. Grounded and settled. Huh? 2 feet. Old and new. Beautiful. Doesn't the scripture say how beautiful are the feet on the mountains, Mount Zion, of them that bring glad tidings of great joy? These, in a sense, are the Lord's feet. This is how we know him. This is how we know he's risen. This is how he speaks to us. This is how we've seen him. And I hold to him.
I worship him. His feet.
And they're precious, aren't they? They have brought me glad tidings of great joy. And I believe this is indeed the Word of God, and he is the Christ. And I hold to them, and they are they which testify of him, the living Lord. And we can't see him right now. We can't see his unveiled face because we still dwell in the flesh. We can hold him by the feet. Does that make sense? Well, and I know they're his. I know these feet are his. How? Just like Fanny Crosby knew he's going to be the Lord. How? Nail scars. Old and new, full of nail scars. Aren't they? Christ crucified. All right, then the Lord, here's the greeting. Before they held him by the feet, the Lord, they went to tell the disciples, and behold, it says, Jesus met them, and he said, all hail. And upon hearing him say that in the power of the Spirit, in a way that no man could say it, and I can't, they hugged his feet and worshiped him. What was the Lord saying here when he said, all hail? Now remember, it's not just an idle greeting. No, sir. Gather yourselves, okay? Rouse yourselves. Okay? Stir up yourself. These are words of, it's more than a greeting, more than a salutation. These are words of great blessing, great peace, great joy, and happiness. He said, all hail. What he is saying is, all in heaven say hello. The Father says, who sent me, hello. To us, yes, you. All in heaven, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit say hail to you, chief of sinners. The saints, all the departed saints, they know you. I didn't used to think this, but now I do. Because Scripture says we shall know even as we've been known. And the Lord brought two of them down, remember, to earth to speak with him about that glorious death which he should accomplish. The saints and the angels and a multitude of heavenly hosts say, hail.
Jeanette Berry? Yes, they do. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Abraham,
Ellen. Say hail. All hail. You get that? Is it getting you? All in heaven say hello. And we're waiting. We can't finish without you. Hello. All. They know you. They await you. And they're all coming. They're all coming when the Lord comes again to get you. Is that what the Scripture says? Huh? It says, we shall not go before them, but they will come with Him. And we shall meet Him and the saint in the air. All hail. All hail. Yes, it's true. We'll know even as we've been known. And they all know us and they hail us. And He says, all hail. The word hail means cheer. Great cheer. The word hail means happiness. The word hail, really now, it means well-being. The word hail means gladness. All the cheer that you could possibly have, you need to have. All the happiness is yours. All the wellness is yours. All gladness that heaven affords is yours. All the blessings. Paul wrote in Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings in heavenly things or places in Christ Jesus. All these things from the Father, from the Son, from the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit and the bride say, hail. Come. Oh yeah. All hail. Be of good cheer. Didn't Christ say that? Before He went to the cross, He said that. One of the last things He said before He left them to be abused and crucified was, be of good cheer. All hail. I've overcome the world. The Lord in this greeting says, you have nothing really to be sad about, ever. You of all people need to be the most cheerful. Cheer up. All cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And after He arose, Juanita, from the grave, be of good cheer. I have overcome sin, hell, and death. Cheer up. But I'm about to die. Be happy then. Cheer up. But I'm sick. I'm getting old. Well, blessed be the Lord. Huh? When you think about it. The Scripture says Christ, who for the joy set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, thinking nothing, is now set down. Cheer up. All cheer. All the cheer that can be had is yours. Cheer up. All the goodness of God is yours. All gladness. We talked about babies being born. You being born, again, is cause for great joy and gladness. Be glad your sins are gone. Here's a message of great glad tidings. Robin Pendrick, your sins are gone. Now, what's there to be sad about? Huh? I want you to leave this place with a smile on your face, okay? All hail. This is what he said. All cheer. All gladness. If you came in here sad, if you go out of here like that, you didn't hear a word, did you? All hail. And when our Lord leaves, we're going to see next Wednesday, Lord willing, He's really going to cheer them up when He leaves. All power is given unto me. There's nothing and no one and nothing that can touch you. I've done it all. All hail. All hail. All joy. All hail. Be joyful. Heaven is yours. Be happy. You're mine. And I am thine. And we're the Father's. And mine are thine. And thine are mine. Cheer up. But I got to go to work. I know how you feel. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But He was joyful. in the task. All hail. Be of good cheer. Be happy. You're well off. You're most blessed. You're highly favored among women. He's still talking to women. And I'm talking to you, all of you, a bunch of women that followed him and ministered to him, haven't you? And I say unto you, by the word of the Lord, you're highly favored among women, Tammy. Not above, but among. No less than Elizabeth, no less than Mary. No less than Mary, whom Christ was formed in. Highly favored. All hail from Christ himself. All hail. And upon a sight of him and this blessed greeting, they ran and held him by the feet.
And don't you know they had big tears running down their faces? You know they did. Because in a word, he relieved all their fear. Be not afraid. And they hugged him by the feet, but with big old tears running down their faces.
They were tears of joy. They had smiles. Sure you had. Tears of joy with a smile on your face. Spurgeon said, kind of like April showers, you know, the little showers, and then the sun comes out brightly, and what do you see? A rainbow. Okay. So he said in verse 10, then he said unto them, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Christ rose from the dead to deliver us from fear of death, didn't he? Be not afraid. I live. And you too. You too. You'll never die. And he says, be not afraid. Now go, tell, look what he calls the disciples. The angel said, go tell his disciples. The Lord said, go tell my brethren. In another place he said, you're my friends. Go tell my brethren. Isn't that a blessed term? I just don't call everybody that, do you? Brother this, brother that. But I call Christ people. I'm a companion of them that fear him. And they're my brethren. And that's a blessed term. Brother Patrick, that's a blessed term, isn't it? And to be called, for this cause, he's not ashamed to call them brethren. What cause? He died. Christ called. That's why he came. That's why he died. And he ever lives to make intercession for the brethren. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee. I've already told you this through my angel. And I'm telling you again. You go to the place that I've appointed. And if they'll go there, they'll see me. And they'll rejoice. With joy unspeakable. They've been sad, haven't they? Just like the Lord said. He said, you're going to be sad, and the world's going to be happy. We put an end to this, Lord. Oh, no, you haven't. Your sorrow, he said, will be turned to joy, and their joy will be turned to sorrow. All the happiness you see in the world that people have over things and whatever it may be is going to be turned to great joy. I mean, great sadness. Great sadness. And all the sadness and all the sorrow that every believer, he's got our tears in a bottle. Isaiah 56. Just as our hairs of our head are numbered, our tears are in a bottle. You know that? Read it for yourself. Psalm 56. And all the sorrows and all the sadness and all the whatever that believers experience, the griefs and all that, are going to turn into unspeakable joy. Yeah, that's right. And he says, you'll see me. You will see me. I said, I want to see him. Don't you? Now, the Lord and the angel said, I told you. Didn't it? The angel said. And they believed him. And they saw him. And then the Lord said through these women and also through the angel, you go tell them that I said, go there and they'll see me. Well, Lord willing, next Wednesday we're going to see that they went there and he said, saw it. And so shall we. You have his word on it. You believe the angel? Huh? The messenger of the covenant? You believe him? You believe his word? Angel can't lie. An angel of the Lord can't lie. And the Lord, you know the Lord, who is truth itself, He can't lie. He said, you're going to see me. Barbara, you're going to see me. You're going to see Him. And so be not afraid. All hail. And I say, all hail the power of Jesus' name. All right, stand with me. Our Lord and our God and our King and our Redeemer, we thank You for this great greeting, this great hail that You gave to these women and us. Lord, Your Word is so wonderful, so marvelous, so powerful. When You speak through the power of Your Holy Spirit, we've been spoken to. We've been comforted. We've been blessed. We've been filled with joy, and our fears have been relieved, and gladness overtaken us, and we see things afar off, and we have great expectation and anticipation, and we run, Lord, when we hear the news, and we run. Lord, quicken us. Cause us to make haste, we pray, to run to Thee. Lord, thank You for Your Word, and pray that You keep the fowls of the air from taking it away, and the thorns and the thistles from choking it out, and cause it to take root, and deliver us from fear, fear of death, fear of sin, fear of all things. It's in Christ's name we've met here tonight. Amen. You're dismissed.